From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Cody Brown has a big family, four wives, one of whom he's legally married to, three more spiritual marriages. Together, they have 17 children. It's all familiar to fans of the reality show Sister Wives. Polygamy has long been illegal in Utah, even as a lifestyle. His family's case went to court. This month, a federal judge ruled Utah families like the Browns, polygamous families, have every right to their way. This hour on Point, polygamy, marriage, privacy, and the law now in America. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What do you see in this new polygamy ruling? A slippery slope, a matter of privacy, freedom? Are we done drawing boundaries to people's relationships? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first today from Salt Lake City, Utah, is Howard Berkus, investigations correspondent for NPR. Howard Berkus, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
Lots of action on this front of relationships in Utah recently. First, a week ago Friday, we had this ruling on cohabitation that effectively clears the way for polygamous relationships in Utah. Then over the weekend, another ruling saying that their ban on gay marriage was unconstitutional. I understand that's likely to be challenged, maybe challenged by the time some people hear this today, but there is much afoot in Utah. How has the polygamy ruling been greeted over the last week and more, Howard?
Well, I think on the polygamy ruling, one thing to keep in mind is that nothing changes practically speaking with this ruling. The ruling is based on Utah's polygamy law, which outlawed cohabitation, and which essentially said that polygamists who cohabit, or anyone who cohabit, you know, break the law. Well, that law was never really enforced, at least not since the 1950s. It hasn't been enforced rigorously in this state. There are very, very few, if any, prosecutions of polygamists simply based on the notion of cohabitation. And what the judge ruled is that it was selective to say that polygamists could not cohabit when others also were not prosecuted for cohabitation. And that's why that was thrown out. It's still illegal in this state to marry more than one person with legal marriage licenses, but practically speaking, polygamists have been getting away with living with more than one spouse for decades with these spiritual marriages that you refer to, which don't involve the state, don't involve a legal marriage license, and that's going to continue, and nothing changes in terms of legal polygamous marriages. They still won't happen in terms of multiple marriage licenses.
I mean, all this goes way back to before Utah became a state. Of course, the Mormon community had polygamy at one time as a feature of much of its social structure. 1894, Congress made the outlawing of polygamy a condition for statehood. So this cohabitation clause that the judge has struck down now is not there by accident. It was aimed at making this illegal as a lifestyle, though you say polygamy's crept around that for a long time now.
Yeah, well, there's a very interesting and twisted history about the practice of polygamy in this state and the notion of it being unacceptable. The Mormon Church officially denounced polygamy in 1890, but also this week the church admitted for the first time publicly that it had condoned the continuation of polygamous marriages in the faith for at least 30 years beyond that. And this has been, you know, historians have talked about this for some time, but the church never really acknowledged it publicly. So polygamy continued even after it was outlawed, even after the Mormon Church said that Mormons would no longer be able to live in plural marriages. And I should say that, you know, that history has changed dramatically. Mormons found to be participating in polygamy are excommunicated from the faith. Polygamists are not part of the faith. The polygamists these days who claim that they are fundamentalist Mormons aren't really Mormons. They've never been Mormons, most of them. They are practicing a version of the faith that they believe to be the true Mormon faith, but Mormons do not practice polygamy. it's over the years, prosecutors were cautious about prosecuting polygamy. Many of them had polygamous ancestors. Mm-hmm. Many of them considered it a benign violation of the law, until it was discovered more recently that there were child marriages, there was welfare fraud involving polygamous groups, and that's really where the prosecutions have been focused, on child brides and on welfare fraud, and not on cohabitation.
We got an estimate from one reporter in Utah that there might be 10,000 polygamous families in the state already. It's kind of wild that this case was built around a family that was the subject of a reality TV show, Cody Brown's family.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about that prosecution is that the county attorney said that because Cody Brown admitted on television, you know, publicly, that he was violating this law, that's why he said he was going to prosecute, eventually he decided not to. That's what happened with another famous polygamist, Tom Green, who did end up being convicted, but mostly, again, based on having married his wives when they were too young to be married, 14 and younger. He went on television and on NPR and in newspapers around the world touting his lifestyle, and the county attorney did the same thing. He said, well, we have to prosecute because he's throwing this in our face. That's what happened with Cody Brown. But even in Cody Brown's case, the prosecutor pulled back and decided not to go after him on cohabitation. So this has been really largely a symbolic and intellectual kind of exercise. Polygamists are very excited that, in their minds, polygamy has been decriminalized in the state, and that they perhaps have less to fear now, because it was always possible, I suppose, for prosecutors to go after them for cohabitation. Although, again, that was extremely rare.
But now that legal threat gone, even as Utah still wrestles in the aftermath of the gay marriage ruling. We saw gay marriages starting there over the weekend, and some talk of an appeal of this ruling on polygamous relationships as well. Howard Berkus with NPR in Salt Lake City, thank you very much for being with us today. I'd really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Here's a little bit of online video from the TLC show Sister Wives website. This is the family at the heart of all this, the Browns, here describing the police attention that prompted their eventual move out of Lehi, Utah, to Las Vegas. Here's Cody and wives, Christine, Robin, and Janelle.
4 months ago, we went public, and through the paper, we learned that the Lehi City Police were doing an investigation on our family.
Well, then recently, we just found out that the investigation's over, but they've turned it over to the county.
Basically making us nervous, very, very nervous.
There's been some discussion about what's the next step for our family. And we have seriously considered, after a lot of talk, of moving out of state.
Out they did go. A case went forward. And the ruling? Well, it says you cannot use that cohabitation clause to go after polygamy. Here's a little tape from Joe Darger, lives in Utah, has three wives and 25 children, talking about the court's new decision.
When we got the news, it was really surprising how emotional it all hit us. At first, it was excitement, and then as it just settled in, it was just kind of some tears of joy.
Joining me now from Chicago is Jonathan Turley, professor of law at the George Washington School of Law. He was lead counsel for the polygamous Brown family featured on the TLC show Sister Wives. He won the case. On December 13th, the federal court in Utah decriminalized, effectively, polygamy. Jonathan Turley, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
How did this case finally come before the federal court?
Well, that's a good question, and it may help, I think, in clarifying something that might not have been entirely accurate from earlier in the show.
Yes, please.
The Browns were put under investigation after their first pilot show ran, mm-hmm, by state and county prosecutors. They did not say they would drop any prosecution or investigation early on. To the contrary, the Browns were put under intensive investigations for 2 years, and rather than go another 2 years, we went to court to challenge the underlying law. The prosecutors still did not drop the criminal investigation until we had won the first two rounds in front of the district judge, and the court was moving to a final decision, which was clearly not going well for the state. It was only then that the prosecutors came in and said, all right, if you drop this case and do not strike down this law, we won't prosecute the Browns. And the court wisely said, that's a bit too late. Also, people have been prosecuted under this since the 1950s. That's not accurate. Also, there is no cohabitation clause anymore. That was struck down. The court did what we suggested. Utah now has a conventional bigamy law. But in the end,
in other words, you can't have multiple legal marriages, but with this, you can have one wife and as many spiritual wives or whatever you like to call them as you like, I guess.
Right. Many people are confusing bigamy with polygamy. Bigamy is having multiple marriage licenses. That's a crime that is committed almost exclusively by people who hold themselves out as monogamous. It is not a crime that is generally committed by polygamists who traditionally have one marriage license and the rest are spiritual marriages. So what Utah has now is it says that anybody, regardless of the structure of your family, is more than one license. Can be prosecuted. We have no problem with that at all. And finally, polygamy is legal. I mean, there's an odd statement earlier. Polygamy is legal in the same way that homosexuality was decriminalized in Lawrence v. Texas. It is now legal to be plural in a family. Polygamy does not mean having multiple marriage licenses. It's having a plural family.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about polygamy and Utah. New ruling there that has cleared away legal restraint on polygamy. Not bigamy, not more than one marriage license, but as many sister wives as a particular family, polygamous family, might like. Here from 2012 is Cody Brown. He and his sister wives, and they are at the heart of this case from the reality TV show Sister Wives on TLC, sat down in Las Vegas with NBC News in 2012 with Natalie Morales, who asked Cody why he had multiple wives. Here was his response.
I want to just make it clear that all of my wives I chose as a mate because of the depth of their character and my belief that they would be a fine individual to share a life with. I was never womanizing.
Last week, speaking with reporters, Utah Governor Gary Herbert responded to this ruling in the Sister Wives case, saying he thought public policy decisions like this should come from the legislature, not the courts.
I'm always a little concerned when we have decisions that change public policy by the courts. I would much rather see decisions on social issues come from our legislature, representing the will of the people.
Jonathan Turley is with us from Chicago. He was lead counsel for the polygamous Brown family in this case. Ruling came down on December 13th, and now we look at it. Jonathan Turley, take us back, way back to 1879 in the Supreme Court opinion, the prevailing precedent, I guess, before this ruling on polygamy, 1879, Reynolds versus the United States.
Yeah, Reynolds, in my view, is one of the most infamous decisions the court has ever handed down, largely because it was filled with rather racist and hateful statements directed against Mormons. The language that the court used was clearly to denounce what it considered to be an immoral practice that it associated with Africa and Asia. It's an opinion that I recommend people read because it's truly horrific. And it's astonishing that it has never been overturned. But in fact, it is the foundation for what are called morality laws. And the most interesting aspect of Judge Wadup's decision out in the Sister Wives case is it shows a break from our long history of morality laws that banned everything from fornication to adultery to cohabitation. These are laws in which the majority simply criminalizes things that they consider to be fundamentally immoral. This case represents part of a trend in which we're moving away from those laws, and in my view, we're a better nation for it. I happen to think that the Sister Wives case is a victory for morality in the sense that it lets every family follow its own faith and values so long as they don't harm others. To me, that's a victory for morality. It's also a victory for privacy. In fact, I think this has a lot more to do with privacy than it does polygamy.
1879, it said no to bigamy or no to polygamy. Whether you had a legal marriage license or not,
The Supreme Court ruling in Reynolds versus the United States said, what, the government could stop you from a polygamous family structure.
Indeed, it was a polygamy case, and also, as you noted earlier, the state, in what was called the enabling laws, that Utah was required to ban polygamy as a condition for entering the union. And in one of the more curious aspects of the case, Judge Wadups actually had us file arguments, both the state and in our side, on whether the statehood of Utah would be in any way questioned if he, in fact, did strike down this law. And so it was a rather odd argument, but we maintained, and I think we've shown in the aftermath, that Utah remains part of the union.
Now, most states don't even have laws on the books, do they, that would technically, legally, outlaw polygamy?
Yeah, when we filed, there were about seven states that had laws along these lines. Three clearly are very similar. I was also the legal expert in the Canadian case, which happened a couple years ago, where the Canadian Supreme Court looked at a law which is virtually identical to Utah. In that case, the Canadian Supreme Court in British Columbia upheld the law, the opposite result. That law is almost word for word what we saw in Utah.
So this ruling goes back in Judge Clark Wadup, this is George W. Bush appointee, goes back to Lawrence versus Texas as a key point in legal heritage here. And how so? Why?
Well, what Judge Wadups ruled was that this law violates both the Due Process Clause, which goes to Lawrence v. Texas, but he also ruled that it violates the free exercise of religion under the First Amendment. As to Lawrence, we argued that this case is really indistinguishable. There's a difference between the criminalization of a consensual relationship and the recognition in terms of a marriage. This is very similar to Lawrence. And in the same way that before Lawrence, states could criminalize homosexual relationships.
This was Texas law that made sodomy illegal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
This did the same for people in polygamous unions or relationships. And that's the reason after Lawrence, homosexuality could not be criminalized. It was legal. And then we still have the question of whether you want to recognize same-sex marriage. The same is true with polygamy. That is, it's no longer criminalized. It is legal to have a polygamous family. We did not ask and do not intend to ask for the recognition of multiple marriage licenses.
Is there an inherent logic here, though that goes in that direction? If Lawrence and the end of sodomy led to the legalization of gay marriage, does the end of this Utah law point toward the legalization of, ultimately, bigamy, that is, marriage licenses for all the sister wives?
Not necessarily. That, as you can see in the current debate over same-sex marriage, many people now say that they certainly support the decriminalization of homosexual relations, but they don't necessarily support the recognition of same-sex unions.
Though 18 states and the District of Columbia now have recognized gay marriage.
That's right. And the Supreme Court, of course, has not reached that decision with finality. I happen to support same-sex marriage. But the issue as to how many marriages or what type of marriages a state is willing to recognize is really a state-by-state question. And it's a different question from criminalization.
But I guess I have the same question for you as a legal scholar who was in the middle of this. Does the logic point toward legalization of polygamy here, or is there something that makes polygamy different from gay marriage in its structure, or you name it?
No, because I actually would say that although I support same-sex marriage, Lawrence does not dictate that states have to recognize same-sex marriage. This does not dictate the states have to recognize plural marriage. These are two different issues in terms of criminalization. One goes to the privacy of the home, and the other one goes to what a state is required to do under things like equal protection. And that involves a lot of different questions, because for criminalization, we were left with really just the question of harm, which was quickly put aside. There was no harm or abuse in this case.
In polygamy.
Right, in mm-hmm. this case, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are monogamous relationships where spousal abuse and child abuse occur, but we don't ban monogamy. What we're saying is, unless you can show harm, you don't have a right to criminalize it. Now, I'll note one thing about the earlier interview. It's not, putting aside the prosecutions that have in fact occurred, and putting aside that this family was hounded for 2 years and prosecutors wouldn't drop it, people seem to dismiss this idea that it doesn't seem like there's no harm, no foul with a state declaring your family to be a criminal enterprise. Most people have no idea what it's like to live under such a cloud. And what was a weird part of the trial, of the hearing, the last hearing we had, was when the state said, if they have nothing to hide, why are they all hiding? And I pointed out, it probably has something to do with the fact that you have pronounced them criminals. And after this decision, I think what you're going to find, first of all, you're going to find out there's a lot more plural relationships, not just polygamy, that will come forward. But these people are going to become more incorporated, more visible in their communities. And I think that'll be a good thing for a lot of people, including those that want to combat any abuse.
Jonathan Turley represented the Brown family of sister wives on TLC in this case. They won, and the criminalization of polygamy has ended in Utah. Jonathan, please stand by in Chicago. Ken Klukowski joins us now from Cleveland, Ohio, director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, also a senior legal analyst at Breitbart News, conservative news and opinion website. Ken Klukowski, thank you for being with us.
Hello, Tim. Merry Christmas, and thank you for having me.
Tom here, and Jonathan Turley.
Oh, forgive me, Tom.
Not at all. Jonathan Turley is celebrating the end of what he calls morality laws around this kind of relationship. How do you look on this ruling?
Well, I think it's ironic, and I appreciate Jonathan being willing to debate this with me. Thank you, Professor Turley. Ironically, his argument faces both ways at the same time. On one hand, he says this is a state-by-state issue. On the other hand, he says this is a right guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. Well, if the U.S. Supreme Court agrees that it's a U.S. constitutional right, it will forever strip from each of the 50 states the ability to make laws of this nature, or any laws pertaining to the recognition and definition of marriage. By definition, anything that is in the U.S. Constitution removes that issue from the democratic process, and it does not allow elected lawmakers to vote on it, either at the state level or at the federal level.
But Jonathan's careful to point out this does not make bigamy legal in Utah. It merely decriminalizes plural marriage, informal plural marriage relationships.
I think you were right, though, in what you said a couple minutes ago, Tom, that this creates an evolving situation. I believe that this case, if it is sustained on appeal, will be the next Lawrence v. Texas. In 2003, a big part of the debate before the Supreme Court regarding removing the criminal laws regarding sodomy, regarding homosexuality, it was, will this lead to gay marriage? And the people who were pushing for decriminalization tried to marginalize that argument. They laughed it off. They said, oh, that's absurd. There is no way that this is going to, in fact, lead to gay marriage. It came up in Justice Scalia's dissent when he said this is exactly where the reasoning of this case will go. And it was just 10 years from Lawrence to today where there has been a steady progression. Every single court that has declared a constitutional right to gay marriage has cited Lawrence v. Texas and has said that the reasoning in Lawrence is what laid the foundation for the opinion that they were handing down this day when they declared a right to gay marriage.
Ken, Jonathan celebrates this, though. He says the end of morality laws, Jonathan Turley says, is a good thing. This is not consistent with our notions of privacy and freedom, of religious freedom, that this is appropriate under the U.S. Constitution, Ken.
Well, in several things. Again, one thing I really admire about Jonathan Turley is his intellectual honesty and his consistency. You're able to have a real forthright debate, and I'm very grateful for that. The reality is that the federal government has no what's called police power, and that's the power to make laws for public safety, for public health, for general social welfare, and for personal responsibility and morality. But that is a power that is reserved under the Constitution, under the 10th Amendment, to each of the 50 states. All laws involving criminal sanctions, the entire criminal code, consists of moral judgments in society. And we recognize some things as crimes even if there is no harmed party. The definition of a crime is where the people's elected representatives believe as a moral matter that a particular thing is destructive of the social fabric. And so it's codified in the criminal code. That's why you don't need to have an injured party who files a private lawsuit. It's where the people's elected representatives, their prosecutor, can actually initiate. They're the only ones who can pursue.
If this Utah case is upheld on appeal, if it's upheld, do you think it will lead to legal polygamous marriage?
I do, and I think it's because you see the same argument that is raised in each and every one of these settings. When you get away, and I'll go from there to the reality show on Showtime, Polyamory, where it's talking about men and women in a bisexual relationship, some heterosexual, some homosexual, some bisexual. But the reality is this: for thousands of years, the basis for marriage laws, the reason that marriage is not just a religious institution or a private relationship, but the reason that it is recognized in public policy, is because every society, it's fundamentally about children, every society has an existential interest in creating the next generation of that society. Otherwise, the nation would age out of existence.
Of course, plural families can do that. The Browns have 17 children who appear to be fairly well cared for.
No, absolutely. I'm saying, ironically, one of the elements of marriage you would find in polygamy, but you do not find in same-sex marriage. Now, we get into other public policy issues on that, but the
well, I mean, there are many same-sex couples that are nurturing and raising children. But let me take your point, Jonathan Turley. What is the boundary, Jonathan, that will keep this from going toward legal polygamous marriage?
Well, first of all, I think where we disagree is that I would think that the history of Lawrence v. Texas would reaffirm the rights of states to make these decisions. That is, the states have elected to recognize, in many cases, some cases their courts have, same-sex marriage. But there's nothing in Lawrence that requires that. But that dissent that was cited by Scalia didn't just talk about polygamy. Scalia also lamented how these morality laws criminalize things like adultery. One of the things I said in Utah, since the cohabitation law would extend to adulterous relationships as well, is that we'd have an awful hard time getting a jury in this case.
But Ken says this will push toward legal polygamous marriage across this country. What do you say to that, Jonathan?
Well, you know, I respect Ken's view, but I have to say that it's not, you don't use the criminal code to try to bar a later argument that might be raised for recognition. You don't criminalize families and relationships because you're afraid they could come back and ask for a different right. That's not how we use the criminal code. I also disagree, by the way, about how the criminal code works. You do need to show harm, or you're going to be subject to a constitutional challenge. The state had a very difficult time, and in fact could not and would not present evidence of harm just generally from polygamous unions. This case doesn't do anything with regard to the recognition of plural marriages. I would be surprised if such marriages were recognized anytime soon. What it does is it simply tells families they have a right to what Brandeis called the right to be left alone, to follow their faith. And you can't have freedom of religion only if it's your religion.
That definitely puts us in a new place, certainly a long way from the 1879 ruling here. Ken Klukowski with the Family Research Council, thank you for joining us from Cleveland, Ohio. Jonathan Turley, please stand by in Chicago. We'll talk with a former sister wife about what she makes of polygamy when we come back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a ruling on polygamy in Utah, which people all over the country are watching. It has been decriminalized in Utah. Not bigamy, that is, not multiple marriage licenses. That's still just for two. But if you want to live in a plural marriage informally in Utah, that is now okay legally for the first time in a very long time. Jonathan Turley argued the case on behalf of the Brown family. Interestingly, in this age of everything on TV, they are the subject of a TLC reality show, Sister Wives. And as of a week ago Friday, there's no law against their relationship in Utah. Let's go to our listeners. Ryan in Iowa City, Iowa. Ryan, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, what do you think?
I think it's far too easy for people to sit in judgment of others, and that's why people do it. It's easy. And for decades and generations now, we've persecuted people and discriminated against people that are different or that we don't understand or respect. And I think a polyamorous lifestyle or Mormonism and polygamy is fairly vulnerable to that. And in a society where we're more and more secular, or we move away from or judge more fundamentalist groups, I just think that people are finding comfort in judging that. And you have to step back and think, no matter what the description of the group, is it fair to discriminate?
Ryan, let me ask you, because Jonathan reminds us in a piece in the Washington Post over the weekend that polygamy actually refers to a lot of different kinds of relationships. Technically, one is polygyny. That's one husband and multiple wives, like the Browns. But it also includes polyandry. That would be one wife and multiple husbands. Polyamory, couples who reject exclusivity of sexual relations. You could have, you know, just a lot of people. Are you saying, fine, that's people's choice? Any of those is fine by you?
I guess where I find comfort is in people doing what they want to do, as long as it doesn't harm others. And that illogical link where people want to prove harm, it's not inherent harm. Has harm resulted? Sure, but it's not a causal link. So I think this is going to challenge us as a society to examine how we view this lifestyle. But at the end of the day, I just don't see these links that people want to cling to.
Ryan, I appreciate your call. Jonathan, do you see proper lines drawn somewhere here where a harm might be an issue?
Yes, I respect what Ryan was saying, because it's not that he approves of these relationships. What he does is he believes in a common article of faith that we all have as Americans, that as long as we don't harm other people, we have a right to follow our faith or our values, to structure our families as we deem fit. And in many ways, it does follow, you know, the philosophy of people like John Stuart Mill and his harm principle, that the reason that we have these laws is to protect people from being harmed by others. In the case of the Brown family, they were under investigation, rather intense investigation, for 2 years. As hard as the state tried, they couldn't find a single crime or abuse. In fact, the kids are flourishing. They're very well adjusted. The wives believe in divorce. One is that had been divorced in the past. They can leave the relationship any time that they want. That's the problem that you have. That is, when you stripped away the harm argument, which fell pretty easily, quite frankly, you're left with religious animus. You're left with majoritarian decisions as to how people should raise their families. And that's the reason I think that people misunderstand. I think it's a victory for morality. These are 19th century laws. The 19th century was not moral, more moral than we are today. It only looked more moral because you had the imposition of moral codes. So outwardly, it looked like everyone was doing exactly what they were told. Of course, they weren't, and that's not the definition of morality. I think morality will flourish. It's just that we won't speak with one voice, but a chorus of voices.
Rick Santorum famously said, back when he was looking toward the presidency, that if gay marriage was legalized, ultimately you'd have polygamy and you'd have the undermining of the fabric of society. I think he talked about bestiality and all the rest. He tweeted yesterday, "Sometimes I hate it when what I predict comes true." Is this the Santorum prediction, Jonathan?
Well, first of all, I'll note that Santorum's earlier statement, he was lamenting that what was being struck down was laws in which you could criminalize consensual relationship between adults. He admitted that in his original statement.
Yeah.
So what he's lamenting is that the state can no longer tell you who you can love within your own home. Now, he may lament that, but I hardly do. I think that we're a better nation for what we are today. We've actually aligned our constitutional values with our laws and decisions like this. Senator Santorum can have his own family structured according to his faith, and so can my clients, the Browns. And they can both flourish.
What does this mean? I have a question here from Twitter. Ksenia writes, asks you what this means for immigrant polygamist families from countries where polygamy is legal. I read over the weekend, I think, that currently they have to sign a statement, families immigrating to this country, that they're not in polygamous marriages. What's the implication there?
Well,
if you're coming from Saudi Arabia or somewhere where it's legal.
Well, first of all, I think that the most immediate impact, if this isn't in fact challenged and upheld nationally, would be that you still can't claim plural marriages in terms of official recognition. They'll be in the same position as many homosexual couples in states that have not recognized it. But you can't criminalize or bar people on that basis if the values here are in fact upheld. There are, of course, millions and millions of people who are in polygamous relationships, and polygamy has been part of virtually every major religion. It's a bona fide religious practice, not just a cultural practice. And that leads us with this challenge. And I think the challenge is resolved on the side of privacy and free exercise. We don't give recognition to plural marriages, but we will not criminalize those relationships.
Mike in Weston, Massachusetts. Mike, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I think the claim of no harm here is off and a bit disingenuous. I think that inherent in a polygamous relationship is the subjugation of the people who are on the other side. And just because you can point out an example of a seemingly healthy family does not mean that the idea of polygamy doesn't imply that there are people being taken advantage of. In this case, mostly women who are vulnerable and, you know, feel the need to be in this somewhat subjugating relationship. And there's an interest here in terms of children who are not consensual parts of this at all, who might be brought up in this environment where they are taught that, you know, women are second-class citizens and are not worthy of the same rights and freedom as men.
Mike, I'm glad you raise it. If I may, let me take that right to someone who has experienced polygamy firsthand. Kristen Decker joins us from New Harmony, Utah. She was born and raised in the Apostolic United Brethren. That's the polygamous fundamentalist group. Not affiliated formally, it's the fundamentalist breakaway group from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She was married at age 17, stayed in the polygamous marriage for 34 years, has 7 children. She's out with a new book, out today, 50 Years in Polygamy, Big Secrets and Little White Lies. Kristen Decker, thank you very much for joining us from Utah.
Hi, Tom. Thanks very much.
Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's a good thing, Kristen, for the polygamy to be decriminalized in Utah?
Absolutely not. I think the problem with this is that if we were only talking about adult consensual sex and, say, gay marriages or same-sex marriages, that would be okay to some and to many. But the difference is that I think did not happen in court, and I was there watching, is that polygamy didn't and wasn't presented in its fullest context. And the young man who just spoke hit it right on the head. The harms that was proven in Canada are sufficient that they wouldn't decriminalize it. And those harms go on and on and on.
Where do you see the harms? Describe the harms, Kristen, if you would. What harms?
Oh, my word. Do you have a couple hours?
Well, tell us right now.
That would be incredible. It starts with he had 24, those many of them is just what children are born and raised into these religious communities, and women are told from the time they're little that they have to live polygamy. They have no other choice or they will be damned and go to hell. I had that experience. I watched that all around me and I still hear it. We are sub-citizens. We don't have the same equal rights as our husbands and our partners. The men will decide if we get to go to heaven or not. And there are many, many violations. We have humongous amounts of people on food stamps and welfare because we're also required to have more children than we can physically, mentally, or emotionally take care of. And it's a requirement in this religion, and that brings me back to, is religion okay if it violates human rights?
But Jonathan Turley says in the Cody family, Cody Brown's family, these women are consensual participants in this polygamous arrangement, so then they're adults, so what's the problem?
Those women say they're consensual, but every single one of them, and they're relatives of mine, all of them have said they wouldn't live this way if they didn't believe they had to. At some point or another, they have all had that know that if they didn't have to do that in order to have their children in the hereafter, they wouldn't participate in this plural marriage. They would do otherwise.
Do you think you're saying then that you see subjugation of women as inherent to polygamy?
Absolutely, definitely. And the children are in many, the Brown family is, and so are the Darger family. I like to say they're anomalies, and they represent a few, a very, very, very minority of polygamous families, especially here in Utah and Arizona. But the list goes on and on of the crimes and the heartaches and the sadness. If we had time, go on and on with that. They're men and women who've tried to leave, and the people will literally gang up on the inside gain up on them and keep their kids away from them or come up with the money to defend them. They have made me and others out to be, you know, evil or demonize us because we speak out about these harms and abuses and things that go on and on. And an example of welfare fraud and food stamps that are still being going on in Mojave County Supervisor Buster Johnson. He said in his press release in September that over $400,000 a month in supplemental and nutritional assistance alone is being paid to the town of a population of 4,000.
Kristen, we've got that number. I want to get Jonathan Turley in here. Jonathan, what about this argument that polygamy inherently subjugates women, even if they're full-grown and consenting adult women, the structure of it is subjugating for women?
You can consent if you've been brainwashed all your life to do something or else.
It's Jonathan Turley, what do you say to that?
Well, first of all, if you play back that statement, what you're left with is this idea that even though adults can consent to a relationship, that consent doesn't matter because the rest of us believe that we would never consent to such a thing.
Oh, no. That is sort of what she's saying, but she's going deeper than that and saying that they're kind of trapped in a situation where their consent may not be real or free.
Well, I think that you can't have a law that's based on that assumption. You know, the Brown women, the wives there, are not trapped. They can leave at any time. One of them had a previous divorce. What you cannot do is you can't say because abuses occur in some families, we can ban all of them. I can show you thousands of monogamous families of the most horrible spousal and child abuse. I can show you hundreds of thousands of cases of monogamous fathers who don't support their children. Nobody's suggesting, well, this is a really failed experiment with monogamy. Instead, what we say is that we have to combat those abuses. The Brown family has denounced all the practices that were just referenced. They've denounced people like Warren Jeffs. Who had underage wives,
allegedly, and so on. Yeah, was gone to prison for that. Yeah. Kristen.
They've also denounced a lot of the people inside the AUB who have tried and asked for help to leave and help to demonize those people as far as supporting the AUB leaders who haven't supported them in their decision to leave.
The Apostolic United Brethren. But what about the argument then, Kristen, that, look, lots of monogamous marriages have all kinds of exploitation or failings or child abuse in them, and we don't treat them by banning them. We treat them by paying attention. And if somebody needs help, we go in and help them, social workers and the rest.
You know, that would be awesome if that would really happen. We need Utah laws that will do that, will help people and protect them, or we need stronger child protection laws so that these children that are being violated can leave, and that when people and women do decide to leave, they get the help that they need rather than having the polygamous people band together and come up with money to fight for children. You have sister wives who will say, well, that sister wife doesn't deserve her children, and that's because they have to defend the principle of plural marriage. It doesn't have to do so much with fear of the laws. It has to do with that we were taught that we have to defend the principle of plural marriage, and that means at any cost. And we were told that over and over. So they will, in a sense, I hate the term, but throw somebody under the bus so that they can cover up the principle of plural marriage. And again, the Brown family and the Darger family are anomalies compared to the thousands of other families. And my father has, in his inheritance, over 10,000 now in his council members. And so that
your father
that
was the leader of the Apostolic United Brethren for 28 years. You know this from the heart of it. Jonathan Turley doesn't want to hear a feminist argument against this. He doesn't want to hear an argument about you know, women's rights. He wants to hear, well, in a sense he does. It's a universal right, he says.
They're an attorney, and that's it. You know, it's the same as if somebody's found guilty or claims that they murdered somebody, and they still have to defend them and get them off if they have to do that.
Kristen Dicker,
we're talking about women and children that are not getting the needs met and being defended as justice goes.
Kristen Dicker is author of the brand new book, 50 Years in Polygamy, Big Secrets and Little White Lies. Jonathan Turley, does any of that give you pause at all, sir?
Well, certainly, I'm very, very sympathetic and supportive of what Kristen has talked about in terms of combating these harms, and I respect her for speaking out against them. In fact, I think that we can join efforts. Once these families are allowed to be public and plural and legal, it'll be easier to focus on these harms. It'll be easier to detect the harms, and I think that's where we have to concentrate our efforts.
Jonathan Turley, professor of law at the George Washington School of Law. He was lead counsel for the Brown family from Sister Wives in the case decided December 13th, decriminalizing polygamy in Utah. Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
And Kristen Dicker in New Harmony, Utah, author of 50 Years in Polygamy, Big Secrets and Little White Lies. Kristen, thank you for your perspective today.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thank you.